Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Zach Muggy, attorney registration number 35821. With me at the council table is Michael Davis, attorney registration 40125. We are appearing on behalf of Medical Lien Management, Inc., which I may refer to at times as MLM, if that is okay with your honors. This is a relatively simple case about the legal doctrine of assignment. The trial court below applied the law on assignment and the facts of this case incorrectly and dismissed MLM's complaint against Allstate at the motion to dismiss stage. A very brief discussion, however, here today will quickly establish that on the law of assignment and the facts of this case, the trial court's ruling was an error and should be reversed. In 2007, Fred Martinez executed a document that I'm holding called a lien and security agreement, in which he granted an assignment of his right to receive certain payments out of a personal injury case to MLM. After having received this document from Mr. Martinez, MLM exercised its rights of assignment by issuing a subsequent document called a notice of lien or assignment of proceeds to, among others, Allstate.
And this was issued before any proceeds had in fact been received.
Correct, Your Honor, yes. This notice was issued shortly after the lien and security agreement was executed. The date on this is April 13th, 2007. So in reviewing how these things put together, it is undisputed that Allstate received this notice of assignment. Undisputed. When Allstate received
that
notice.
Did Allstate respond or acknowledge receipt of that?
Well, unfortunately, Your Honor, because this case was dismissed at the motion to dismiss stage, we were not able to do discovery. So we don't know what Allstate's file includes. It very well may include internal notes, correspondence, citations, acknowledging the lien, but we don't know that because we weren't allowed to get to that stage. But for all intents and purposes here, it doesn't matter because the legal effect is the same. When a debtor receives a notice of assignment and fails to comply, it's liable.
Your argument, Mr. Muggy, seems to presuppose that it is permissible to assign proceeds to a personal injury claim in Colorado. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. And you know that wasn't raised in this case. We have addressed that elsewhere in other litigation. And to the extent that that weighs in on this court's opinion in any way, we can certainly supplement briefs with the law on that. But really, it comes down to the survival statute in Colorado, which dictates which claims can and cannot be assigned. And so long as the claim survives somebody's death, according to the survival statute, that claim can be assigned. Here, because MLM is not trying to recover punitive damages and exemplary damages, that sort of thing, the claim can be assigned. So that's not germane to this case. To the extent the court finds it is, we would be happy to submit further authority on that issue. It's also undisputed that Allstate and its insured, subsequently after having received this notice, settled the personal injury case with Martinez. Instead of Allstate paying MLM, however, it issued payment directly to Martinez.
Did I read in your briefs or in one of the briefs that Mr. Martinez was not represented by counsel at the time of the settlement?
That's correct, Your Honor. He was initially represented by counsel, who also signed the lien and security agreement, but for whatever reasons withdrew. But your point is really a good one, Your Honor, because that demonstrates the different layers of protection that this lien and security agreement necessarily has for any differing situations that occur in these cases, such as someone starts out with an attorney, the attorney for whatever reason withdraws or is fired. Maybe someone doesn't start out with an attorney at all. And that's what this agreement has to take into account. How many layers of protection can we build in to ensure that MLM is protected? That's why this agreement has varying layers. And that's what the district court below misinterpreted. Because those layers of protection are just that. They're additional protection Once MLM issues a notice of assignment, it changes everything, because Allstate at that point in time was obligated to issue payment directly to MLM. These additional layers of protection should never have even come into play.
Now, how do you respond to the argument that Allstate makes that it was never obligated at all at the time of the assignment to make any payments to anybody? It was simply an insurance company that under certain circumstances would pay a judgment entered against its insured.
I respond simply with, Your Honor, the undisputed facts show they did pay. So that to me becomes irrelevant. They did pay with notice in hand that they needed to pay someone else.
So it's a contingent obligation, correct?
Well, if Martinez went to trial, if this settlement never occurred and he lost, Allstate never would have owed anything. And the assignment never would have come into effect vis-a-vis their obligation to pay MLM. So they did owe, and that is in the settlement agreement, which we've not seen. And again, I'll come back to that. Because this case was dismissed on a motion to dismiss, at the motion to dismiss stage, we didn't get to conduct discovery.
But your answer to Judge Casebolt's question then was yes, it does assign a contingent obligation.
Well, I think Spratlin speaks of this. And it says, if at that point the debtor owes money to the assignee or to the assignor, then it needs to pay at that time. Or if at some future time an obligation comes into effect, then it also is valid. I think Spratlin is directly on point on that, Your Honor. So this is a relatively basic case on the law of assignment. And unfortunately, Allstate advanced several arguments which effectively distracted the trial court below. But when you boil out all of those, what we call red herrings, you get down to the law of assignment, which is pretty basic. And we can read from precedent from this very court as early as 1896 that talks about this. Now, I'll start with the Mid-States case because we cite it quite a bit in the briefs. And this is what this very court held in Mid-States. After notice of a valid assignment, payment to the assignor or any person other than the assignee is at the debtor's peril and does not discharge him from liability to the assignee. That's Mid-States. Trevino versus HHL. This court issued the same decision in 1996, quoted the above language that I just cited verbatim. And then you go back to the Spratlin case, 1896, dealing with a notice of assignment. The court held, if the appellant attempted to exercise any discretion or adjudicate the rights of rival claimants and made a mistake, it must suffer the consequences. That's exactly what we have here. Undisputed that Allstate received a valid notice of assignment, ignored it, made a mistake, whatever the case may be. Now, just like this court held in Mid-States, Trevino, and Spratlin, Allstate made that mistake at its own peril, and it did not discharge Allstate from liability to MLM. Allstate chose to ignore the assignment. It must now face the consequences. Now, unfortunately, as I said at the beginning, the trial court below came to the opposite conclusion. The trial court was wrong. Consistent with long-standing case law in this state, this court should reverse the trial court's decision below, find that MLM had a valid and enforceable assignment vis-a-vis the lien and security agreement, that Allstate violated MLM's assignment rights after having received notice, and that now Allstate is liable to MLM.
Can we do that by simply reversing a motion to dismiss?
Well, I think you can, Your Honor, because these issues really come down to interpretation of these documents, which the court does de novo. So I think you can. To the extent the court doesn't feel it can, then it should be reversed with instructions. So with that, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court. I am Terrence Ridley, and appearing with me at council table is Evan Stevenson. We both appear on behalf of Allstate Insurance Company. Your Honors, if the appellant is going to stand before the court today and say that my client should pay twice, should pay double, they are the ones that should really have their drafting house in order. They are the ones that should use precise language. They are the ones that should have clear assignment procedures in place. So in terms of consequences, what they're asking this court to do is to make my client pay twice. Now, I want to be clear. My client's obligation was to one person in this case, and that was its insured, Ms. Clifford. And it fulfilled that obligation when it resolved the case with Mr. Martinez.
Mr. Ridley, could I ask you to take a step back? I understand
Absolutely.
Your arguments about why this particular document in this case doesn't require your client to play twice, but I want to ask you a more fundamental question, and we touched on it with Mr. Muggy. Is there any dispute that a personal injury claim or the right to proceeds from a personal injury claim can be assigned if the assignment is done properly?
Your Honor, I agree that personal injury proceeds are capable of assignment under Colorado law.
Okay.
Yes, there may be some exceptions to that depending on the particular facts and the clarity with which it's done, but yes, it's generally permissible.
Okay, thank you.
So the appellant argues that we have somehow confused Judge Hagelin and that we're in the process of trying to confuse this court. But really, there's really nothing to confuse this court with, because this case at core is about contracts 101. It's about the plain language that was used in the key document. And the key document is the assignment agreement. And one of the main points is, if the appellant is really going to try to hold somebody liable for double payment, they need to be very clear in that language. Now, the trial court dismissed the case. Judge Hagelin dismissed the case, and he did so for several reasons, and he did so correctly. First of all, Judge Hagelin found and recognized that Allstate was not a party to this assignment agreement. It did not sign the agreement. It did not act in sort of any course or conduct, Your Honor, underneath that agreement. Allstate Insurance Company is not even named in
that
document.
We're talking about course of conduct. As I understand it, Allstate received a copy of the agreement, a copy of medical bills, a copy of the assignment, and a copy of the lien balance statement account. And Allstate did nothing. Wouldn't Allstate, in the course of good business dealing, let them know that, no, we're not going to accept your assignment? Can they just be silent?
Well, I think what Allstate did in the course of good business practice was, one, protect its insurer, and then, two, look at the plain language of what had been done in the assignment agreement. And that's really where the court's analysis needs to be, just like Judge Hagelin's analysis was there. So what Judge Hagelin did was he looked at what Mr. Muggy held up, and I'll hold it up too. He started his analysis with paragraph 4 of the assignment agreement. And this is really the only portion of the assignment agreement that has any sort of assignment language at all. And the rest of the agreement, which is one page long, appears to be a form agreement because it doesn't name Allstate Insurance Company specifically. It just refers to insurance carriers. But when you look at paragraph 4 of this agreement, it was a plain language assessment. And the assessment was, all right, the paragraph says that Mr. Elliott, the plaintiff's lawyer, is instructed and directed to issue payment directly to MLM. And in fact, that phrase is used twice, instruct and direct. Now, what does it say about Allstate? Again, this is nothing specifically about Allstate, Your Honors, but it does go on and say that with respect to insurance carriers generically, what's their alleged obligation under this agreement? They are authorized to go ahead and make payment to MLM.
Acknowledging that language, Mr. Ridley, it's certainly there, but the sentence before that says, patient hereby assigns to MLM any and all causes of action to the extent of the sums due. that patient might have or that may exist in patient's favor. What about that language?
That language, Your Honor, in terms of the claims and the amount due, the question is, well, what claim existed? All right. Was there a claim that existed as between Mr. Martinez on the one hand and Allstate Insurance Company on the other hand? In other words, did Mr. Martinez have anything that he could assign?
Well, didn't he have something he could assign when Allstate settled the claim of Mr. Martinez?
It was contingent. It could arise, but at the time of this agreement, there was nothing to assign. There's no common law claim.
So are you saying that there cannot be an assignment of a contingency? And if so, where is the case law that says
yeah,
that?
And I have no case law on that point, Your Honor. But by the same token, this agreement doesn't say that. I mean, the closest it gets is to authorize Allstate to pay.
Well, wait a minute. It doesn't. It says that, but it says more than that. Assigns to MLM any causes of action to the extent of sums due under this lien and security agreement that patient might have or may exist. It's may have or may exist. Even if he has no rights against Allstate in the first instance, when Allstate says to Mr. Martinez, we're going to settle this case with you, why isn't there an agreement there that Martinez has already assigned the rights to? Martinez can still settle the case. And in fact, according to the complaint, he did with Allstate. And that's what we have to accept as being true. Why is not the assignment language there sufficient to assign the right to proceeds to become due at some point, maybe never, maybe Allstate defends the case through trial and wins, I don't know. But once Allstate says, we will settle with Mr. Martinez, that's a contract, right? This language seems to have assigned.
Okay, well, a couple things, Your Honor. In terms of there being a contract, no, I mean, there's no record on there being a contract. There's no allegation that there was a contract.
There's an allegation that there was a settlement.
There was a payment. We know that there was a payment. There was a payment from Allstate to Mr. Martinez.
Would there be a payment without a contract?
There absolutely could be a payment without a contract. Typically.
Isn't there an offer and acceptance?
There's typically a payment and a release, but in terms of any contract, there's not necessarily a contract.
Well, wait a minute. There's an offer of settlement made. We'll settle this case for $10,000. I accept. Isn't that a contract? There's consideration, there's an offer, there's an acceptance. It's an oral contract.
Perhaps
right. We don't know that.
I just know that there's no written contract in this case.
Okay, all right, well, we don't know that because we're at the motion to dismiss stage, correct?
That's right. Okay. That's right. And there's no allegation of that either.
Well, is it the allegation that there was a settlement sufficient reading this complaint broadly to say there was a contract?
There's certainly an allegation that there was a settlement. Okay. Yes. Your Honors, I would like to move to the Mid-States case, which was authored by Judge Sternberg, because it is the case that has been cited by both sides, by the appellant for the proposition that this is a valid assignment, and by Allstate for the proposition that this is the case that you need to look at to determine what it takes to make an assignment when there is no agreement and there is no signature by the debtor, in this case, Allstate. And Your Honor, Judge Sternberg, in that case, the court did a very nice job of setting forth what it takes, and it set forth certain elements that just are not present in this case. So, for example, in the Mid-States case, there was a course of conduct. In the Mid-States case, there was an express acknowledgement by the debtor, in this, you know, what would be the functional equivalent of Allstate in this case, that there was in fact this assignment. There's no such acknowledgement here as existed in the Mid-States case. So
do you
look at
do you have to have a course of conduct?
It's a factor to consider, Your Honor. You don't have to have one.
Okay.
But where there's no signature when there's no acknowledgement. This court in the past has looked to see what has happened in terms of what the defendant debtor has agreed to. And in that case, I thought it was very illustrative because it showed that not only did the debtor defendant acknowledge the assignment, the debtor defendant had performed under that assignment for 14 months, and after 14 months, it decided to pay itself. And as a consequence of that, there was a conversion lawsuit. And Mr. Muggy did read from that case, but importantly, in that case, there was an underlying debt obligation that ran between the assignor and the defendant debtor. And Judge Sternberg, in that case, more importantly than I think the soundbite about at your own peril cited by Mr. Muggy, in that case, at page 437, and this is 741 P. Second 342, Judge Sternberg said, as long as the agency relationship between Lewis and Mita existed, or as long as Mita owed Lewis proceeds of milk marketed through Mita, Midstate's rights under the assignments remained in full effect. After notice of a valid assignment, payment to the assignor or any person other than the assignee is at the debtor's peril. So there was more to that case, much more to that case than meets the eye in terms of the language of that case. In terms of the assignments, the notice of the assignment, which was emphasized here, a couple of things. That notice of assignment was only as good as the underlying agreement. And Allstate views that underlying agreement as only giving it permission, if it so chose, to pay medical lien management directly. The notice of assignment does not cure the fundamental problem with the underlying assignment. That notice did nothing to change the plain language in the underlying assignment agreement, and as explained, that language in the assignment agreement was not binding on Allstate. Allstate did not acknowledge that assignment. Mr. Martinez did not sign that agreement, that notice. And under paragraph 5 of the assignment agreement, there's a merger clause. And that notice of assignment is basically put before the court for purposes of creating extrinsic evidence as to the intent of the parties. But paragraph 5 prohibits, unless Mr. Martinez agrees, relying on such information to establish the intent of the parties. Finally, Your Honors, I did raise the issue of the Iqbal Twombly standard. And of course, that's the United States Supreme Court standard on pleading. The court does not have to reach that agreement, that issue, if it concludes that Judge Hagelin correctly dismissed the case. If the court does want to reach it, the issue really becomes, does the court want to make any comment? Does the court want to expand or develop Colorado law to track the federal law of Iqbal and Twombly, which essentially creates a heightened pleading standard?
Can we do that, or do you have to go three floors up?
That's a great question. I think here's a beginning point, the court doesn't have to address it at all. It could if it wanted to. But we are obviously we want to preserve the record, so if we ever did get to the Colorado Supreme Court, we could raise that, and that ultimately is probably where the law on the pleading standard would be made, is in the Colorado Supreme Court. I see my time is just about up. Are there any other questions from the panel?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I figured I'd briefly respond to some of counsel's arguments because this is really what happened at the district court level when we talk about red herrings and distracting arguments. Now we're talking about merger clauses, wholly irrelevant to this case. But But before I get there, I wanted to directly answer Judge Vogt's comments about the contingency language as well as Judge Casebolt. I'm reading directly from this court's decision in Spratlin, the 1896 case, which is directly on point, and it says as follows: that such a transfer was a legal and equitable assignment of so much of the fund, here's the key language, whether the fund was in hand or to be received, is well settled by authority. It was an assignment. So I think that becomes, that's already been resolved long ago. Let me start from the beginning, because Mr. Ridley said that what we're asking Allstate to do is pay twice, and that's inaccurate. What we're asking this court to do is simply enforce longstanding Colorado law that clearly says if a debtor makes a payment to an assignee after having notice of a valid assignment, he does so at his peril. He should bear the consequences. That's what this court has held since 1896. So I'm not asking this court to make Allstate pay twice. I'm asking this court to simply enforce longstanding Colorado law. If Allstate wants to pursue Mr. Martinez for the payment, it can certainly do so. The next point I'd like to speak to is this idea that somehow the plain language of the lien and security agreement does not create an assignment. And that's just not the case. Judge Casebolt, you narrowed in on language in paragraph 4, which says patient hereby assigns to MLM any and all causes of action. Pretty clear assignment language there. But Allstate wants to completely skip the first paragraph altogether, as did the trial court below. And this agreement starts off, the very first paragraph starts off by saying, patient hereby grants to MLM all rights to payment from any and all proceeds derived from patient's claim or claims for personal injury in an amount equal to fees and costs of services provided. Now that language, it's hard to imagine getting any clearer or the intent being established any more strongly than it is. Patient hereby grants to MLM all rights to payment. That's sufficient by itself to establish the assignment. And what we know is that under Colorado law, no magic words or formalities are needed to create an assignment, right? It always comes back to the intent. Can intent be established? That's the holding in Phoenix. That's what this court said in 2007. No particular formalities are necessary to effect a valid assignment. So the fact that Allstate made that the word assign appears lower in the agreement but not in paragraph 1 misses the point, because the intent is clear. So the agreement, when read together, there's no mistake that Mr. Martinez is saying about five different ways, I understand I'm not going to get this money. This money is going to go to MLM, to the amounts that I owe them. Whether that money is paid directly from the insurance company, whether that money is paid from the insurance company to my attorney, who then is going to pay MLM, whether that money comes to me directly and then I owe MLM, that's the multiple layers of protection that we're talking about. If somehow Allstate messes up and the money goes to the lawyer has to pay. If it goes to Martinez, he's got to pay. But all of these things work together and establish the intent that he is understanding clearly, I'm not getting this money, it's going to MLM. So I think that's the focus here, and that's where the trial court just missed. The intent of this document is unmistakably in favor of an assignment. Now, Mr. Ridley briefly mentioned that Allstate is not a party to this lien and security agreement. Again, red herring. Totally beside the point. There is absolutely no requirement, and I can't think of an instance in which we'd be discussing an assignment where the debtor is a party. Wasn't the case in Mid-States, wasn't the case in Spratlin, wasn't the case in Trevino. So that is an issue just off base. Now, again, I'll circle back to this, but they keep trying to isolate provisions of this lien and security agreement, and they can't do that. You've got to read it together. Now, they wanted to distinguish Mid-States by saying that there was a course of conduct, that there was an express acknowledgement. All of those things, again, are irrelevant Those are not requirements before one has an enforceable assignment, number one. And number two, keep in mind, we were deprived the opportunity to conduct discovery. We don't know if there's a course of conduct in their internal files, whether they acknowledged the assignment. We don't know. Finally, they talk about this notice and that the notice wasn't effective because it only gave permission. They say it only authorized the insurance company. I'll call the court's attention back to Mid-States. If Your Honor authored that opinion, that's what the court in Mid-States said. It authorized the assignment, the debtor to pay, and that was a valid assignment there. It is here. And simply, there's no requirement that Martinez sign the notice. I see my time's up if I can briefly finish this thought. The notice is what exercised the assignment rights. It did not modify, did not supplement, or alter in any way the rights or obligations created by this underlying lien and security agreement. Therefore, the notice didn't require any signature by Martinez. So this merger argument is totally irrelevant. With that, my time's up. If the panel has any additional questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I thank you for your time and ask this court to reverse the trial court's ruling as a matter of law.
Thank you. Thank you both, counsel, for your arguments here this afternoon. This case will stand submitted. We will get you a written opinion in due course.
Thank you.